talk a little bit about some of the economic numbers. Here's Philip Shaw, senior advisor at Goldstone Financial. Philip, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
It's funny because Pete noticed two consecutive posts, little bulletins you'll get on your feed about the markets. It says U.S. adds 175,000 jobs in April in the 40th straight month of gains as unemployment stays below 4% and the longest such streak since 1953. So jobs added were below 4%, 40 straight months, best ever since 1953. The New York Times, rather than The Guardian, posted this way. Breaking news. U.S. employers added 175,000 jobs in April. A downshift in the pace of hiring. The unemployment rate ticked up to 3.9%. So is the glass half full or empty here, I guess, is the question. What do you say?
Well, it's been different depending on who you talk to. So, you know, the unemployment rate being below 4% is great news overall for the economy. But it is a little different if you talk to people who, you know, you would consider more in the blue-collar industry versus the white-collar, the office industry. And they're really seeing two different pictures. So, you know, what we're seeing is a fair bit more unemployment in the white-collar industries. We're certainly seeing it in clients of ours being laid off or expecting layoffs in their organizations. On the other end, people in the blue-collar industry are seeing some of the strongest employment they've seen in decades. So the one is, to an extent, offsetting the other. Just depends, I suppose, what side of it you're on.
If you just wanted America to prosper or Americans to prosper, do you care which sector of the economy, the workforce, is employed versus unemployed? If you had to pick one, would it matter necessarily? Or it's just the overall number. It's the blend of the two.
Overall, you want that number to be low. So low unemployment is going to mean good things for the economy overall. Having some tick up in the unemployment rate isn't a good thing for the overall economy. But as you and I have talked about before, the other side of this is the interest rate environment and what is the Fed going to do? And if, unfortunately, if a higher unemployment rate means that the Fed reduces interest rates sooner than later, that actually may be a good thing for the overall economy as well.
I suppose there's something countervailing to this, though. But I mean, what I was after was, say, unemployment is especially low in the blue collar sector, in the manufacturing side. That means that businesses are building things, that the economy is humming along. We're manufacturing stuff. And if there's a price to pay on the white collar side, better that we are making things rather than we are in the office doing things. You see what I'm saying? There's maybe two streams in the economy there, but if you had to root for one, you'd like to see the manufacturing side succeed.
Personally, I root for both of them.
Yeah,
we import and export jobs across the board.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I personally love seeing America get back to manufacturing. I love seeing us get back to building and developing things on our own, to beginning to start onshoring those kinds of jobs and that kind of work again. I think is going to be great for the economy in the long run. So I am absolutely rooting for that. Absolutely rooting for that.
Talking a little bit about some of the employment or unemployment numbers with Philip Shaw, the senior advisor at Goldstone Financial. It was interesting. I was reading some of your notes, Philip, and I guess inflation is a national number, but it kind of depends on where you live, right? One part of the country or city might be experiencing inflation in a different way than somebody else. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So some of the biggest, you know, inflation numbers in the country have been, you know, especially places like Florida, where we're seeing, you know, really high skyrocketing, you know, insurance rates for homeowners, for auto, for lots of things. Big difference between being here in Chicago, being in the Northwest. It really is a regional issue.
So like in Chicago, what are the numbers? Do you have that handy by any chance?
Yeah, so Chicago in the last month is up 0.6% versus, you know, about double that for, you know, being in Florida. So it is very specific to you. But the other thing I'd mention on an inflation end is inflation tends to be specific to the individual as well. It depends on what you're spending money on. You know, for somebody that has a 30-year fixed mortgage, their inflation rate is going to be, you know, considerably lower than somebody who's renting. Somebody who travels is going to be a higher inflation rate than someone who doesn't. So it's definitely dependent on where you live, but it's also dependent on how you spend.
Yeah, or what kind of mortgage, what kind of living situation you have. Do you see interest rates coming down more than two times this year?
You know, I'm still in the camp that we may see three rate declines this year. It's going to, you know, the Fed always says they're going to be data dependent. And so, you know, especially seeing an unemployment number tick up like we just had today is an indicator that they're still going to consider rate decreases. That doesn't mean that they're going to be huge. That doesn't mean that they're going to go back to, you know, a 2% rate environment. But they might do a couple of rate decreases still yet this year.
Yeah, I wonder how pressing this issue is to them. I mean, nobody's paying more attention to it than they are, I'm sure. And yet people had been so anxious for two or three or four or five rate cuts this year. And then inflation stayed stubborn. So here we are still on pause. But a lot of people are just kind of hanging on that first rate cut. They don't seem to have the sense of urgency, I guess I'm saying, that others may have.
And I agree with you, John. I think the Fed was a little too late on the front end to start raising rates, and they may be too late on the back end to start reducing rates as well. My overall concern is that they're not going to do anything, and that's going to drive the economy into recession sometime towards the end of 2024, beginning of 2025. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a market crash, but that could be a spike in unemployment, people being laid off. That could be a recession for the overall economy.
And that's a means to an end, right? I mean, that is, nobody wants that to happen, but that's what has to happen in order to stem inflation. That's the price we pay. Is that correct?
That's one way of looking at it. You know, the economy has to cool down. And when someone says the economy has to cool, that's a polite way of saying that we need to have some unemployment. We need to have, you know, bad things need to occur, essentially, across the economy, right, in order for it to slow down, in order for it to cool, in order for things to stabilize.
Right.
So it's a short-term pain for a long-term gain.
The long-term gain being that the federal government will have a lower borrowing cost, right?
That, and ideally we'll have lower inflation in our day-to-day living as well.
Right, but if it's 0.6% increase in Chicago, for instance, you're right. It's already difficult for people, or some people, and then others can more easily absorb it. But it would seem to me like the inflation below 4% is a manageable number for people, and then there's this huge backlog of people that would love to get out of their houses, but they can't, or they want to buy a house, but they can't find one because interest rates are so stubborn. So I'm back to, why aren't they a little more anxious over at the Fed?
I think the Fed is generally slow to act on this sort of thing. They're looking back 40 years and saying, if we act too soon, if we reduce rates too soon, are we locking ourselves into an uncontrollable interest rate environment, or inflation environment, I should say, where we're going to have rampant 6, 7, 8% a year inflation? I don't know that that's going to happen, but that's the concern. That's the absolute fear of the Fed, is losing control of the fight with inflation.
So maybe someday, maybe in the near future, I'll be thanking them for their intransigence, for their dragging their feet on this, huh?
Well, that's what I mean by short-term pain for long-term gain, is over the long term, we need to have controlled inflation. We can't have the 9% year-over-year that we were dealing with just a couple of years ago. And, you know, if that means in the short term, you know, it's uncomfortable, unfortunately, that may be the price we have to pay for it.
What are you telling your investors then? What's your advice for folks with their retirement savings right now?
So I still wouldn't make any, you know, rash decisions. I wouldn't act emotionally based on what's happening short term in the market. you know, today feels great. Market's up 1.5%, NASDAQ's up almost 2%, right? Today it feels great, but it's not an emotional time to be reacting to it. My advice always comes from a planning perspective. So if you're within a couple of years of retirement, if you're within a window of time or you're worried that you might have layoffs in your company, I would become more defensive. I would become more cautious in how you're investing money, at least a portion of it, so that you know if something happens, you know what you can fall back on, you know what's going to be there. And even if it's moving money into a money market, I mean, shoot, making 5.25% of money markets, not a bad thing.
Philip Shaw is a senior advisor at Goldstone Financial Group. Goldstone Financial Group. Nice to talk to you today. Philip, thanks for your help.
Yep. Thank you, John.
Here's Chef Richard Sandoval, the Casa Shy chef at the Intercontinental Hotel in Chicago. Let's learn a little bit about this place. Chef, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, John. Good. Great. Thanks for having me.
So I know the hotel. It's not too far from the radio station. Tell us about your place there.
Right. So Casa Chi, our first night was, was yesterday. And that, Casa Chi means, earth house. So, there's a lot of, earth and fire elements. It's more of a lounge. It's a Nikkei lounge. What does Nikkei mean? It's a little bit of a style or type of cuisine where you blend, Japanese and Peruvian, ingredients. So, the menu, you have a ceviche, which is, made with aguachile, which is a classic Peruvian with some, mango, some hamachi, we have some tiraditos, a couple sushi rolls, some lobster wonton tacos. And then we have, since we don't have a kitchen, I had to, kind of figure out, how to serve some, hot items. So what I did is I'm serving hot stones, which is, these hot stones that we've, heat up to about 400 degrees. We, put them in the center of your table, and then you're able to buy, different cuts of beef by the ounce, very thinly sliced. And so you cook them there in front of your table, and it's a very kind of shareable kind of, lounge where people can come and enjoy, different styles of food. It's very agave-centric. What does that mean? Is, we have mezcals, tequilas, some sakes. So, yeah, I mean, it's a cool little place, not very big. We're going to have a cool outside patio. And, we're going to be open on, Wednesdays through Thursdays. Wednesdays through Saturdays. We're right next to Michael Jordan Steakhouse on Michigan Avenue. So, I'm super excited to be back in Chicago.
Hot Ishiyaki stone. So is that a Peruvian or a Japanese cultural way of cooking food? How's that go?
Yeah, it's more of a, Japanese, and again, it's just these kind of, typically they have these, river rocks and they, put them on a little, those little hibachi grills, which is kind of a little, ceramic, where they put a little bit of, fire. And then it's kind of a little campfire cooking there, really thin slices and cooking one, 2-3 seconds and, a little couple dipping sauces. So, yeah, it's very cool. It's more about having, engaging and having fun, right?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so this isn't dinner tonight. This is maybe a different way to have lounge or I hesitate to call that bar food. That's not bar food, but it would be in a setting where I'm having a drink and enjoying these sorts of shareables. Is that it?
Exactly. You couldn't put it in better words. That's exactly. It's shareables. You come in, you have a couple cocktails, maybe, come grab a nightcap, or maybe just want a light bite, right? Sometimes it's late in the afternoon, you don't want to eat a heavy dinner, and you can come here and order a couple sushi rolls, one hot stone with 4 ounces of Wagyu beef. And you're all set. So it's casual, it's fun, it's engaging, but it's not like a formal dinner restaurant where you come and expecting a formal menu and a dinner experience.
So is this on the main floor then, or do I go up a flight of stairs to get to this?
No, it's right on the corner of Michigan and Illinois. I mean, you can't miss it. I mean, it's an amazing location. Right next to Michael Jordan's. So we have that corner space.
Yeah.
So it's we're gonna have outdoor seating. So. The weather gets nice right now. It's, super exciting because, you can sit out there, watch everybody walk on Michigan Avenue. So it's pretty cool.
Well, I'm curious about that because there is not a lot of outdoor seating on Michigan Avenue, per se. That's very popular these days, but you don't see a lot of people sitting on Michigan Avenue. Will I be there or around the corner, kind of tucked over in the side?
You're tucked on the side, right around the corner.
Yeah. I know that location well. We used to broadcast from over that way, and I think there's a lot of usable space there. I would like to see more outdoor dining on Michigan Avenue or throughout the city, for that matter. That's I don't know if everybody thought about that before the pandemic, but since the pandemic, that's been very much in vogue, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think during the pandemic, when everybody had the local governments, let us, even in New York City, let us put these outdoor cafes, because you have to be outdoor, right? Because of COVID, nobody wants to be indoors. So I think it's a consequence of COVID, and they're not as strict as before. So I think they're allowing people to sit outdoors. But there's nothing better. I mean, when you're in Europe and you're in Italy in the summer, I mean, everybody sits in the piazzas right outside. Everybody wants to be outdoors, especially here in the winter, right? You get through the cold, and now the sun's coming out. You want to be outdoors. So I think it's great, and like you said, I wish they would allow it more.
So Wednesday through Saturday, is it all day or just late afternoon and into the evening?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, 4 p.m. to 12 p.m., and then on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Huh. So what do you recommend? What's the specialty? This must be a challenge as a chef to come up with these kinds of flavors. I mean, you don't have, like you said, a full kitchen to work with.
Right, and funny enough, I spent some time in Peru about 4 months ago doing a little bit of, research and development. So, I got to taste a lot of Nikkei restaurants. It was super exciting. And, if I were to come in here knowing what I know, I would start off maybe with some lobster wonton tacos. It's the wonton skin. It's a crispy taco, a little bit of sushi rice, then some lobster with a mango chilaquiles sauce, kind of like a pico de gallo. Then maybe, I would get a sushi roll, and then I'd finish with, 4 ounces of either the tenderloin or the ribeye, or, we also have this cool kind of scallop dish where we use a hot stone, but the scallops are thinly, shaved. They come on the stone, and then we torch them tableside with a little bit of yuzu butter. So, I think 2 or 3 things per person. So, maybe 5 things if you're 2 people to share. And, again, you'll taste something that you've never tasted before, because again, you're melding and integrating 2 different cuisines with 2 different types of ingredients, right?
Well, this isn't so novel, but you could do cocktail weenies on toothpicks.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. I mean, so that's what it's all about. This place is just thinking out of the box and creating different things. And yeah, you're right. I mean, you can do anything, right?
Except that would be a terrible idea. And then just give me one quick hit. give me one quick hit on the cocktail that you like. Are you in charge of the cocktail menu, or is that somebody else?
Well, I have a great mixologist, for the company. But obviously, I taste them. So, we have a Mezcal Gibson, which is one of our signatures. We have a Japanese Pisco, again, where you mix some pisco with little passion fruits and lychee. We have the smoked michelada, which is kind of the maguey mezcal, a little bit of beer. Ancho Reyes, which is a chili liqueur, a little lime juice, a little bit of chili salt. So yeah, I mean, we have about 4 or 5 things. Hopefully you can come and visit us soon. Let us know when you want to come in. But even the cocktails, I mean, there's a lot of show. There's we're using nitrogen. There's smoke. There's fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty cool what we've been able to create here for such a small space and limited space, right? When you have a small bar and small kind of ceviche bar, what I call it, the sushi and ceviche bar, it's what we've been able to create. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I'm glad you're there, and not just because I'm around the corner. So your first day is when now, Chef?
So yesterday was our first day. So today's actually our second day. So come. I hope everybody comes and checks it out, right? So, yeah, it's our second day. So.
What's that, the 500 block, or are you in the 400 block in North Michigan there?
No, it's the 500 block.
500 block, North Michigan Avenue at the Intercontinental Hotel. And there it is, Chef Richard Sandoval. Chef, we'll knock on your door. Thanks for giving us the update.
Look forward to serving everyone here. Thanks for having me, all right? Have a great day.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Rivian has announced it's adding 500 jobs to its manufacturing plant in downstate Normal. The announcement coincided with the state of Illinois providing immediate incentives totaling $75 million to Rivian to aid in that expansion. The package also includes tax incentives worth $634 million over the next 30 years, as long as Rivian keeps at least 6,000 jobs in the state. Rivian is expanding its plant to produce a new, smaller electric SUV. An early-stage venture capital firm in Chicago says its new fund has raised $98 million. Hyde Park Venture Partners will use the money to fund startups. The fund was an early backer of Chicago startups ShipBob, Four Kites, G2, LogicGate, and Dentalogy. According to Chicago Inno, Hyde Park typically invests between $500,000 and $4 million in startups. It expects to make 20 investments over the life of the fund. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now the business of food. Now, Steve Alexander.
Yeah, and it's a Mr. Fizz Friday, and our esteemed colleague will utter the word hogwash after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Mr. Fizz, our gardening guru Jim Fizzell is on Cicada Watch 2024. Any sign of them crawling out of their little holes in the ground yet, Jim?
I haven't seen any yet. I think there's some down in the middle part of the state.
Well, we get cicadas nearly every year around Chicago, but those are different than the ones that are coming in a few weeks?
Right. The dog day cicadas, these are the ones that we see every year. They spend 2 to 4 years underground. They come out in July and August.
Jim says there are two broods of cicadas that are expected to emerge from the ground this month, some that have been in the ground 13 years and some that have been there 17 years. And he says this simultaneous emergence is rare.
The last time this double emergence happened was in 1803, 221 years ago.
And he says as noisy as it's expected to be around Chicago, it's going to be worse a few hours south.
And it may be noisy. It'll be the noisiest place, I think. But we never know for sure until it happens.
But even with the noise, Mr. Fizz is a fan of the cicadas.
These amazing creatures don't bite. No danger to us, to people, or to the plantings in the yard.
But
you might protect newly planted trees that could be damaged. Covering them up with netting. You can get that at garden stores.
And he says there is some bad advice out there for what we should do to get ready for the critters to crawl out of the holes they're making in our yards.
Now, we have some people who are saying to mow the lawn short to see when the mounds appear. Then when the insects are preparing to emerge, spray the lawn and your property with insecticide. Actually, this is hogwash, to be blunt. Don't do any spray. We don't need to do that.
He says just leave them alone. Enjoy them.
Now, these are miracles of nature. There's nothing like them. They're only around for 2 or 3 weeks every generation and a half or so. So we need to preserve them for our kids and for our grandkids so they can witness this amazing event. They are truly wonders of nature.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell, the cicada's best friend.
They're very interesting creatures.
On the food calendar, it's National Raspberry Popover Day and National Chocolate Custard Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
I heard the expression the other day for the first time. I don't know if our guest likes this or not. Cantail. It's not a cocktail. It's a cocktail in a can. It's a cantail. But it's kind of like what Nayeli Suarez-Gass, the founder at Drop Needle Drinks, has come up with. They've got some new beverages, which I have been enjoying, Nayeli. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I don't take offense to cantail. I'm actually probably going to use that.
It's kind of a new category, almost. You see so many pre-mixed drinks in cans on store shelves these days, don't you?
You do. It's actually been such a big share of the market. We call them ready-to-drink cocktails, and they're currently at 11.5% of total alcohol beverage share.
Wow. Wow, I would not have guessed that. Well, it's definitely arrived. So why Drop Needle? This is your business here in Chicago. What's Drop Needle mean?
Oh, Drop Needle is that moment, John, when you're with your friends, everything's going great, you're the right mood, you're in the right place, you're with the right people, and then you hear like the right music, that song or sound comes on, the needle drop moment, and the party just starts. You're just like, it's the combination of all those things coming together in one can.
DropNeedleDrinksCompany.com is the website. So I've got in front of me right now the lemon, juniper, and elderflower drink. We sampled that last night. That was really good. I like the juniper and elderflower flavoring in there. And then just so I knew what I was talking about, just a little while ago, I popped the Modern mimosa with orange, tangerine, and clementine flavors. And this is really good. This tastes like a sparkling mimosa.
Thank you. Yeah, that was, you know, that was our goal. We use only natural flavors and ingredients and juices in there, so we don't add a lot of stuff into it. But we wanted it to be very flavorful, but not very overtly sweet.
So tell me about your company and you. How did you all come to this?
Well, you know, it's one of those times, kind of like the drop needle moment. There's five of us. So myself, Amanda, Jill, Joe, Kevin, we're all industry, you know, experts because we've all worked in alcohol beverage for most of our careers. And we were just looking for, you know, like, what does this category need? And we knew that the trends were going to continue to be in that ready-to-drink section. We saw that that was the fastest growing. And there's a demand for premiumization. And we wanted to make sure that we had something that wasn't going to get lost. We had very bright packaging. And we wanted it to be full of flavor and just keep innovating on it. So we wanted to move away from some of the hard seltzers and provide something that was wine-based and, you know, had some natural juices in them. And we made a play off of traditional wine cocktails.
So these are wine-based cocktails, sparkling. They're all sparkling, though, are they not?
Yes, they are all sparkling.
Sparkling wine cocktails. And you all are from where? Oak Park, Forest Park? You're out in the suburbs, right?
I am. So I was born and raised in the city of Chicago. I went to Lane Tech and UIC, like never left the city, and moved out to Oak Park when I came. I moved to Texas when I was working with PepsiCo. I came back and landed in Oak Park. Then Joe lives in Naperville. So we're close. We're, you know, from here. And so we're really happy to be starting our, you know, distribution in Chicago.
So I'm looking at the drop needle cans in front of me, and they are a berry color, kind of an orange, yellow, California almost color, the mimosa. Then you've got the lemon, juniper, and elderflower beverage, which is the California 75, and that's got greens mm-hmm. and pink colors to it. But they're very pretty, tall, thin cans. You see that style out there. Are these in stores now? Can I buy them everywhere?
You could buy them in a lot of places, not everywhere, not yet, but we will get there soon. Right now, we have a majority of the western suburbs. We have some locations in Pilsen and Little Village. We actually have a map on our website so that you can go on there and find where our products are distributed. So you don't have to drive everywhere. You could be very, very localized.
I see a bucket of ice with a bunch of these sitting in somebody's back porch or patio. Maybe they're hosting a brunch or maybe early evening cocktails. And these cans would look great there. If you want to find out where they are and what they are, click on dropneedledrinkscompany.com. That's the website, right?
Yes, yes, that is. And that's 100% how we saw these cans. You know, we think about some on ice. Yeah. Just delicious, cold, refreshing, especially with summer coming up and with us hitting 80 degrees tomorrow. These will be definitely in my ice bucket.
DropNeedleDrinksCompany.com. Nile, good luck to you. My best to y'all, and we'll continue to sample them here.
All right, John. Thank you so much.